Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Salvation to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb forevermore. Now, without taking our time, let's quickly go to Genesis. I don't know if I have, actually this evening I decided I'm going to be very, very slow and calm. So, just follow me. Don't get bored. Genesis chapter 41. Don't forget what I said, that the issue of the kingdom is linked, or the issue of the throne is linked to deliverance. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now, we don't have time to read this story. You know this story. Joseph had been imprisoned, and then when it was time for God to bring him to his purpose for him, Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could interpret that dream. And the butler remembered that Joseph had once interpreted his dream. And so, let me tell you something. When God has spoken to you anything, the best way you can help yourself is just go to rest. When I mean go to rest, I'm not saying don't do anything. I'm not saying don't pray. But I'm saying don't think of how it will happen. Don't do what? Don't think about how it will happen. Don't. Don't think about and don't try to make it happen. The reason why people have their journey elongated is because many times they try to do what God has said he will do. You can't do what God has said he will do. You can't. You cannot. You don't have the capacity. You don't have what it takes. You don't even know how it's going to come about. So just rest. Thank him. And then be open to him. If he gives you any instruction, obey. If he tells you to go to any place, go. If he tells you to do anything, do. But don't try to rationalize how it will happen. And God is never late. So if to you it seems as if the thing is getting late, no, it's not late. The vision is for an appointed time. Hallelujah. That's just, by the way, from the life of Joseph. Joseph had tried. He knew he was a good person. He didn't do the thing. So, he told the butler, please remember me. But when God's time has not come, amen, all your struggles will remain as struggles. But when God's time comes, hallelujah. All right, so Joseph was called and verse 25, 41, 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good years are 7 years. The dream is one. Let me go to verse 20. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. Hallelujah. I'm trying to see how to. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Now, it is not Satan that is doing this. It is God that is bringing something to pass. But I want you to take note of that word consume. He said the farming will do what? Will consume the land. It means that the farming is going to spend, as in, the farming will spend the land. Nothing is going to be left. Have you ever spent all you have? Nothing left. That's what this farming was going to do. Is that the farming was going to consume the land. It will spend it. It will leak the land. Every resource, everything, the farming is going to take it away. Even though there will be a plenty, but the farming is going to come that they will... No, but if you tell them that there was a time there was a plenty, nobody will eat. I want you to take note of the word consume. Hallelujah. Now, but when God was going to save this situation, what did God do? God sent Joseph. Let's go to Genesis chapter 45. I want you to just follow me. Genesis chapter 45. Verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself that ye sold me hither. For God you to do what? For you to do what? God sent me before you to do what? To preserve life. Listen, because of time, I decided to jump some things. And one of the things I jumped, very, very important, is that you know that Joseph became what? The second in command. Literally, it was brought into the kingdom. Hello? It was brought into what? It was brought into the kingdom. We say he became the prime minister. Now, God took the throne of Egypt and opened a space for a savior to step in there. Are we together this evening? Now, God took the throne of Egypt and gave it to his savior. God prepared Joseph and opened a space for him. God brought him into that throne. And what did he say? He said, God, for God did send me before you to do what? To preserve life. Continue. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. Hello? Yes, let's continue. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by what? A great deliverance. Now, let me explain something. The word God sent me to preserve you a posterity in the earth, that word means that God sent me to leave you a remnant. Hello? God sent me to do what? To leave you a remnant in the earth. And to save your lives by a great deliverance. Don't forget, I said something. There is something about the throne and what? And salvation. Anytime you see God talking about throne, anytime you see the manifestation of God's throne, there is something always about deliverance. There is always something about salvation. There is always something about escape. Hallelujah. So, Joseph said, the reason why I came into the kingdom is because God has a plan. And what was that plan? Is to provide for you a remnant. And to save your lives by a great deliverance. Amen. I'm going somewhere. So that when we start talking about the issue of kingdom and, you know, God bringing us to operate and to lay hold of his kingdom, we know what is at the back, there is a salvation program. Why? Because there is a consumption that is coming. Because there is a consumption that is coming. If God does not open up throne, there's nobody that will be left. Do you know that Joseph did not just save Egypt, he saved the world. Because even other people had to come, even from Canaan, they had to come to get food. Hallelujah. All right. That's the first case study. Let's look at the second case study. The second case study is Esther. Let's go to Esther chapter 4. Is it chapter 4? Sorry, give me time to open it. Esther, before we go to chapter 4, let's quickly look at chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, I'm looking at my time. Of course, I cannot finish this message this evening, but I will continue from Esther chapter 3. Let's look at it from verse 1. After these things, the king Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Medata the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that he told a man to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand. For he had told them that he was what? Was a Jew. And when a man saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was a man full of wrath. Look at verse 6. And he sought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. You know that, who is Mordecai? That would be ridiculing myself to say I want to take care of Mordecai. He said he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, a man sought to do what? What did he sought to do? He sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of what? Mordecai. See, the issue of destruction is very, very important. And the issue of we talking about kingdom is very, very important. Why? Because the times we are in, now, like I said earlier, that two climates we are going to be experiencing in the latter time is climates of maturity of God's sons and maturity of the sons of evil. And that is description of destruction. Listen, the enemy came to do what? To steal. To what? To kill. And to what? Destroy. Annihilate. When something is stolen, you can still recover. When something is killed, there is still resurrection. When destruction has come, it's leak. You can't salvage destruction. That's what lake of fire is prepared for. So as we are progressing, see. When the throne of God was set up in that revelation, what God was trying to do is this: we have to move fast to save as many. Hello? We have to do what? We have to move fast to save as many. Why? Because the oppression of iniquity is going to enter into a very fast dimension. Even now, we are experiencing that. And that is why it's a terrible time to joke with your Christianity. I've already gone farther than myself. But let's come home. Esther. It was the issue of destroy that took me there. You remember that? See, next time you see the word, go and check the word destruction, ruin, perish. All of them are the same. You see the word? The son of perdition. Have you ever heard of a son of perdition being saved before? Perdition means destruction. When a person comes to perdition, there is no remedy. When you hear somebody go into perdition, hello? So when you see throne, the purpose of throne is to fight perdition. Is to help to hasten and see how can we recover. And that's why when you look at all of those sins and those judgments that they were coming, they keep saying something like this, and that the men did not still repent. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? So it means that Esther was in the kingdom. God brought her to the kingdom. God opened the throne of Ahasuerus and gave Esther a place. And gave Esther a place. Why? Because God had seen, because there is a consumption that is coming. Wow. There's going to be an Haman that will sought to destroy the Jews. That he wanted to annihilate them. Let nothing be left. Let there be no remnant. But God is always in the business of bringing a remnant. And one of the major instruments that God always used is that God entered thrones and create space for his people. So if God will enter into throne to create space for himself, then what about his own throne? Hallelujah. So when we're talking about coming, one of the power of the kingdom, one of the things that kingdoms do is that kingdoms have capacity to salvage. Kingdoms have capacity to stop destruction. See, it has always been like that. Let me take you to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter, look at heaven. You look at that. We compare that with Revelation and see still the same principle. Talking about the water that were coming from the temple. Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was... No. 47 rather. Ezekiel 47. Sorry. Not dry bones. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water. The water were to the ankles. Before we continue reading, let's go to Revelations. I want us to see the same verse 22. Revelations 22 verse 1. Revelations 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Where is it coming from? Proceeding out of what? The throne of God and of what? But Ezekiel did not call it a throne. What did he call it? Temple. But when you see the description of the water, you know that it's the same water that he's actually talking about. Meaning that there is a flow of... Okay, verse 2. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life which bear 12 manner of fruit. Hallelujah. I just want to show us. Now, Ezekiel said the waters were coming from the temple. But Revelation says that the water was actually coming from proceeding out of the throne of God and of what? And of the Lamb. Meaning that there is a life expression of the kingdom. When he's talking about that procession of life, of water, he's talking about expressions of life that is coming out of the throne. Now, I want to show you what in that Ezekiel, go take us back to that Ezekiel chapter 47 and let's see what that water did. Ezekiel chapter 47, by the time you go to look at verse 7. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Did you see this in the book of Revelation? Did you see it there? So then said he, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Revelation said 12. This one just didn't get that detail. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters will what? The waters will be what? Healed. Now, look at the next verse. It now said, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall do what? Live. And there shall be a very great what? This is not complete. Why did it? There will be what? A great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river what? Cometh. What is this thing talking about? What is fish? Hello? He said there will be multitude of fish. What is fish? Eh? What is fish? Jesus told Peter, come unto me. I would make you what? What the scripture was saying is that there is going to be an expression of life coming from the throne, that when it meets with people, there is a capacity, it preserves people for salvation. So that when the gospel comes to them, they can believe. There will be fishes in the seas. It's not because of anything. I don't know, how can I explain this thing better so that you can really see what I'm trying to say? That there is a dimension of the throne that its purpose is to preserve. Listen, some people will not get born again now. But there is, you know, the scripture talks about some people that are, he said, we are being kept through faith. You know, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I want to tell you, it's not only you that is being kept. Even in the world, there is preservation that is taking place. Hallelujah. There's preservation that is taking place, and it is an operation of the throne. Now, when we are talking about throne here, we are God in heaven. Hello? We're not just talking about throne of God in heaven. I'm talking about the throne of God that has been replicated inside people, inside men, such that by your presence in your class, the workings of death can stay. And when God is coming to reach people, he can still find them. Now, you don't understand, when Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, these are the things that we are talking about. It's not something that is perfect. When he says you are the salt of the earth, you know what salt is supposed to do? It's supposed to stop corruption. Listen to me. If God should leave people the way they are, before, by the time God is ready to come, nobody will be able to hear the gospel again. Look at that. He said there will be multitude of fish because these waters shall come there. Take us back to maybe the beginning of that verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall what? Live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because this water shall come thither, for they shall be healed. God is going to heal the waters. The waters are not just waters. He's talking about people. Do you not see in the book of Revelation?
Hello? Let me show you that. Not everybody is a student of the Bible like that. Revelations, let's go to Revelations. Revelations, where it was talking about the judgment of the great whore. Where is it? Revelations of the great whore. Where is that? Where is that? Babylon the great. Where the judgment came upon Babylon the great. I think that should be... Please help me quickly find it, please. Oh, yeah, now, where is it? It was not part of my... I didn't... is this 17, right? Okay. Okay, look at verse 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken. Look, sorry, verse 1. And there came one of the 7 angels, which are the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that seated upon what? Many waters. Well, she was sitting upon many waters. Now, let's look at where the angel was now trying to interpret that. Where is it? There's a place where he gave the interpretation. Can somebody help us to find that? Seventeen fifteen. Okay. Look at it. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where they all seated, are what? Are peoples and multitudes and nations and what? And tongues. So why did I show you this? He said the all was sitting upon many waters. And the angel said the water is not just talking about water. He's talking about peoples. He's talking about multitude. He's talking about nations. So sometimes when you see, of course, it may not be every time you see water that it means, but many of those times when you see in water is one of the symbols that describes nations, peoples, tongues from this place. So in that Ezekiel chapter 47, when he was saying that from the throne of God issued forth the water that went into the sea and healed the waters. He was not just talking about water. He was actually saying that God is going to bring healing to nations. He's going to bring... Now, that healing, you see, it's even funny. That healing does not even mean that they are saved yet. But that healing is a preservation for the gospel. He said there will be multitude of fishes. Amen. When a fisherman casts his net, there's tendency that he will take many things. But what is he looking for? Fish. He's looking for fish. So when Jesus told Peter, I will make you fishers of men, the same way John had to prepare the way for Jesus, to prepare the minds of the people to receive Jesus, he's saying that there is going to, see, it's not even just going to be about your preaching. It's going to be your interface. Let me tell you something. When God has so much wrath in you, just your interface is sufficient to arrest corruption. That is what this place is saying. When you move, when you interact, it may be through your word, it may be through your life, it may be through anything, but people just know that there is, when you appear, there is something, there is no liberty for righteousness. Amen. So what I'm saying in essence is that there is an oppression of the throne that is connected with salvation, with preservation, with causing there to be a remnant. As I close, maybe I will continue along this line next week, but let me round up on this. Isaiah chapter 28. There's something that Isaiah said.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 22. Isaiah 22. Now therefore be ye not mockers. Let your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption. Even determined upon what? The whole earth. He said, I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption. There's going to be a consumption. There is an annihilation that is even determined upon the whole earth. But listen, this is what I'm saying. The things we need to begin to preach now are things that can stabilize the heart of saints. Let me tell you, you have no reason to be afraid of tribulation. You don't even have to have any reason to, whether it is before or after rapture, that should not be your concern. How many of you, when you are at home, is afraid of rain and storm? Hello? The reason why you are afraid is because you are not sure of the strength of your house. If you know what you built, you go and sleep. Yeah. So, right now, please, hire right men. Get the right workmen. Get the right workmen to build your house. Get the right workmen to build your house. Let me tell you something. It's not... What I was saying in essence is that you don't have any reason. Don't see. You don't have to be. Whether some say it's pre, some people say it's post, some people say it's during. Leave all that. Leave what? All that. I don't want to go there. Maybe I will open it more next week. Jesus said something. He said, be watchful and pray. So that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. Escape does not mean take away. Escape means preservation in the midst. Escape means I'm in need life, but it's not touching me. That's how to escape. Hello? Escape is that when you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. When the fire, they will not burn you. That is what it means to what? To escape. But what I'm saying is, listen to me, that escape is tied to an ascension. If the throne is not taken, that escape will not be a reality. Let me leave it like that, so that you will look forward to next week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We are grateful to you. Thank you for light. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for helping us. Thank you. You have redeemed us from kindreds and people. You have redeemed us from nations and tribes. You have redeemed us from the peoples of this world. Ayesalem, 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 Ayesalem. You have redeemed us from kindreds and peoples. You have redeemed us from nations and tribes. You have redeemed us from the peoples of this world. Ayesalem, 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 Ayesalem. Say, you have redeemed us. You have redeemed us from kindreds and people.
You have redeemed us from nations and tribes. You have redeemed us from the peoples of this world. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Peace unto us, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You have redeemed us, you have redeemed us from kindreds and people. Oh, you have redeemed us from nations and tribes. You have redeemed us from the peoples of this world. Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. Say peace to me, peace to you. That's what it means. Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Enjoy this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.